All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali.
This is Nick from Chuk Chuk Chuk.
What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker. Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
We're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's Chris.
And this is Hayden.
And we're from Never Shot Never, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
A lonely red balloon, tied down to his worries. Dreams have taken flight, slowly moving out of sight to a sky of curious blue, infinite inviting. A prisoner of self-doubt, he whispers to himself, why can't I cut the ribbon tied around my neck? Then maybe I could finally breathe. Then maybe I could finally see the bigger picture staring back at me. Monday's my weekend, Tuesday's alright. Hey, hey, I'm ready. It's go time, go time. Green is my color, sunshine's my sky. Hey, hey, it's go time, go time. Hey, hey, I'm ready, it's go time, go time. A storm blows through the city towards the lonely red balloon. The rattled, tattered ribbon lost its grip and off he flew. Towards a sky of lightning, thunder through and through. Fireworks like Independence Day, whoop-de-doo. Up so high, without the noose that used to choke my neck. Now that I can finally breathe, now that I can finally see the bigger picture staring back at me. Monday's my weekend, Tuesday's alright. Hey, hey, I'm ready. It's go time, go time. Green is my color, sunshine's my sky. Hey, hey, it's go time, go time. Hey, hey, I'm ready. It's go time, go. Above the atmosphere, there's no separation here. Division is illusion, it's all one big balloon. About to pop. Monday's my weekend, Tuesday's alright. Hey, hey, I'm ready. It's go time, go time. Green is my color, sunshine's my sky. Hey, hey, it's go time, go time. Hey, hey, I'm ready, it's go time, go time.
Right on.
Awesome.
Guys, that was absolutely wonderful. Thank you guys for gracing us with that.
No problem, man.
Well, awesome. Well, welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions here on WGN Plus. You know, as always, you can find us on Sound Sesh Pod on Twitter and search Sound Sessions WGN on iTunes. And, you know, why not shoot us an email? You can find us there at soundseshpod@gmail.com. And Kev, let me tell you, man, there are a few bands that have struck such a chord with such a devoted following, and we have one here today. They've recently put out their latest album, Black Cat, and they're playing tonight at Chicago's House of Blues. We're more than happy to welcome Christopher Drew and Hayden Kaiser of Never Shout Never. What's up, guys?
Just hanging out, just man. Hanging. Loving the Chicago vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Always love it here. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful city.
Thank you very much. We're so glad to have you guys. Now, you guys are from kind of a Midwestern town yourselves in Joplin, Missouri. What's that like?
Yeah, it's a smaller town. It's about 40,000 people, and it was actually a nice place to get brought up, and definitely a humble beginnings kind of place. Mm-hmm. And we still live there, some of the time at least. We're traveling a lot and kind of back and forth between LA and all that crap, Also I'm actually about to move to New York for a while.
Really?
Yeah, I'm about to go check that vibe out for a little while.
So what inspired that kind of change?
Well, I got some friends out there, and, you know, they've been telling me to get out there for a while, and also, I don't know, every time I've been to New York, I've been really enchanted by it and inspired, and I've actually written a couple songs out in Central Park, you know, and I just want to go out there and make a record or, you know, maybe work on some solo work, or I don't know, just kind of enjoy the vibes and get some creative juices flowing.
How nice so that must be. Just, I'm going to go there. I'm just going to go live in New York. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's great.
It's the place where I can get the most out of it. I can inspire myself.
And that's a really cool thing. I don't want to say, like, crutch is not the right word, but you're feeding off the city almost.
Exactly.
That's great, man, to fuel your music. That's very cool.
I love that. So, and, you know, just speaking about feeding off the city, us in Chicago, we also find a lot of inspiration from a lot of things out here as well. And we wanted to actually present you guys just to start off with a little gift from our humble city.
Oh, wow.
Chicago-based gift.
Okay.
So I hope you guys appreciate it. And let me bust it out here for you real quick.
You gifted us with some music, so we're going to return the favor here.
I like where this is going.
Okay. Chicago's own old-style beer.
Oh, damn. All right.
And we've got some Wrigley's Double Mint Gum
for
you, too.
Oh, across the street from Wrigley Building.
That's
so,
great.
Help out that beer breath.
Oh, we're having so much fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Oh, perfect.
Tear in if you're so inclined, but
I might. I don't want it to be smacking on the radio, though.
You can smack away, man. Yeah, this is our gift to you. So welcome to Chicago, and thanks for coming back, guys. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having us.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about the inspiration that you guys kind of get from the smaller towns. Now, you started out playing solo on stage for a while. What was it like, you know, being on stage in Joplin, Missouri, playing music? I mean, what's the crowd like out there in Missouri?
Well, the crowd is, you know, it was mostly friends.
You know,
a lot of just friends. I mean, really, my first start was in a local coffee shop, and there was open mic night every Tuesday night at this coffee shop called Dioko.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, about the time I was 14, it was about a year or two after I really started playing guitar. I started going down there every Tuesday, and I'd play whatever songs I was working on, play a cover song or something. And that was really the first start, you know, and it was mostly just an older crowd. I was like 14 doing this, and there was, you know, it was more of an 18 and up kind of crowd. But that was really the first kind of start I got. And then after that, kept doing some more open mic nights until I was about 16, and then started doing some real shows, you know, trying to hop on, doing support for like bands that would come through the town and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to hear about, like, you know, talking back in Joplin, what were some of your original musical influences, and now what compare that to now what you have become, and what are some influences you draw from now?
Well, I would say, like, earliest on, my biggest influences were like kind of family and friends. Like, my dad always played guitar growing up, and he has pretty good taste in music, so he was playing a lot of Beatles and Dylan and stuff, and that was kind of really some of my first introductions to playing acoustic guitar, was him playing those songs. And also, my family is very involved in, like, the church and stuff, so there was always music going on there, and you could pick up on that. And, you know, I was actually into all sorts of weird bands. I kind of liked more rock stuff whenever I was younger, like System of a Down and things like that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Just kind of rock radio sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
And then as time went on, you know, I just kept, you know, I remember my dad got me a book with, like, a bunch of songs and stuff, like old classic songs, so I started learning those, and then I don't know. I mean, I guess that compared to now, really much hasn't changed, except I've, you know, experienced a lot more life, and also experienced a lot more music, you know, listened to so many great records, and, you know, but still to this day, like, I would say Dylan and Neil Young and
one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Beatles and stuff are just, they're just, you know, great songs, and there aren't a lot of people writing songs like that anymore, so I really try to take a lot of inspiration from whenever songs were really classic and lyrical and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That really comes through in your music, too, the way you kind of play with those really heavy melodies. I love that, because that's what a lot of songs are missing today, and you really like that. Now, Hayden, you're from Joplin, too, correct?
I am.
So what about you? What were you listening to back in the day?
Oh, man. kind of the same. I was brought up into, like, the Christian metal scene, so I was listening to, like, POD and you know, Project 86.
I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's what I was into at the time. So, but then, you know, we got together and we started getting into, like, Taking Back Sunday and stuff like that. But my roots are around the same, like, Beatles a lot, actually. It was a huge inspiration to me, and also my dad too. So
yeah,
just listening to all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, me and Hayden have actually been playing together since we were about 14.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in bands growing up since then, so it's pretty cool. Me, him, and Taylor, our bass player, have been together for, you know, a decade now, playing together.
I can't believe that. I mean, so what made you solidify the group? Because for a while you kind of played with a bunch of different musicians. So what made you solidify the core three members almost?
It just kind of happened naturally, really. Yeah, I mean, really people would quit, you know, things wouldn't work out, we'd have to let people go, stuff mm-hmm. like that. There was just, you know, and this is really the only lineup that there hasn't been any dramatic things involved. You know, everybody's pretty on the same page and feeling good about everything, so.
Yeah.
And it's funny that it worked out where it's just us three.
The original guys, yeah.
Still playing.
Yeah.
I just remember jamming out, you know, like,
jeez,
jamming out whenever you're like 14, playing the worst music you've ever heard.
So bad, but we loved it so much.
Of course.
We played it
every day. A lot of passion.
I think that is so funny because, you know, you guys have a very, very original band name, and I really enjoyed it a lot. But I wanted to know, could you maybe tell me the significance of Trading Hearts, Scarlet Remembrance?
Oh my god, where'd you get this from?
Strips of Colors?
This is horrifying.
That's awesome.
Oh man, I was trying to bury those. you know, I think that, you know, we were very, we were kind of into the kind of gothy emo sort of thing for a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, freshman year of high school, you know, I was black hair.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Red,
of course.
Red and black all day long. You know, I was really into that and misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
Gothy kid, studded everything.
Yeah,
and a
couple of belts.
Yeah. Well, I never did the couple of belts.
I did.
But
I'm guilty of that.
Oh, it's horrible.
Belt to the side, maybe.
Oh, yep. Yeah. One side. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bad news. But you know, I think that really, like, it was just kind of what we came up with. You know, and we had a couple different guys too, and I remember we had our buddy Jordan who was with us, and he was very, very into bloody heart tears,
heart.
Black tears. So, you know, I mean,
it's a rite of passage, though. You should, I mean,
we were children.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope to God that those photos of me when I was in grade school or eighth grade, the front was just blonde, like right here.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, man.
You see, it's funny.
Unfortunately, I actually rocked that style a couple years ago. So. Got to keep up with the times, man. Keep up with the kiddos.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you guys have been playing together. What is it about the original three here, like the guys that you've known from your hometown for so long? Why is it that that's what's stuck through and, like, you guys have that musical bond?
We just vibe together. So, I mean, we went to the same school, you know, grew up in the same kind of
atmosphere.
All, you know, we grew up in the Bible Belt. So it's like, you know, just grew up the same way, had good parents, you know, and
mm-hmm.
we just vibe well together.
I mean, I agree. And I think that it's really, you know, whenever I first started getting Never Shout really going with like a touring band and stuff, I just made it a point to bring out friends because I think there's something just really valuable to having people that you have a deep connection with, mm-hmm. playing music with them, and also just being able to keep each other in check and accountable and being just, you know, not letting the thing take you into a place or turn you into a person you don't want to be, you know. And if you have mm-hmm. like solid friends around, then, you know, they can give you a knuckle sandwich if you need one.
You know? Yep. The idea of family comes up so much on this podcast, and that's a really strong way to keep those musical bonds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you guys, you know, you've been on the road for about, what is it, upwards of 5, 6, 7 years? Pretty much nonstop. How do you guys keep from getting burnt out on the road?
Well, taking a lot of breaks.
Yeah, taking breaks and, like, actually just going into the studio and, like, you know, writing and recording and stuff.
Yeah.
It helps a lot, actually.
It keeps the balance that way. And, you know, personally, I live to be on the road, and I love traveling, and I love being able to play these cities and just being able to, you know, going down to the House of Blues and having 1,000 people out there just ready to meet you and greet you. It's just, it's a good feeling. And, you know, because whenever I go home, I'm just a very simple kind of guy and don't really do much, you know. And, well, I guess I mean, that's kind of an
I would go so far as to say I'm an introvert in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, being able to come out like this is actually really, really fun. So I personally don't ever get burnt out when I'm on the road. I always have
to. I used to get burnt out, and then I kind of, you know, realized that I can't you know, drink that much, mm-hmm. or I need sleep, you yeah. know, and I think sleep is the number one thing. I used to not sleep as much, and now I'm a big sleeper. I sleep like 10 hours a night. So.
What time is your bedtime?
You know, it's horrible, but I go from about 3 to 3, 3 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Well, it's tough. You know, you're yeah. playing, you're getting on the stage, what, 9 o'clock or so? Yeah, you got to come down after a while.
Yeah, and then
know?
We have some fun True. After the show, right. and then after that, you know, I just sleep till sound check. Somebody open my bunk in the bus and be like, yeah. hey, you want a sound check today? I'm like, oh,
okay.
That's awesome.
So I want to hear about, you know, you mentioned coming up in the Bible Belt, church being like a part of your life and your family, you listening to Christian metal. Is religion, I mean, I know this is kind of a personal question, is it part of your life and part of your music, or are you guys disconnected from it now?
I wouldn't say we're disconnected. I'm not disconnected. I just, you know, I grew up, you know,
sure.
hearing different people's, like, opinions about stuff and kind of just formed my own opinion on life and religion, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know about Chris, but that's kind of how it happened for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think religion can be a beautiful thing yeah. for people. Mm-hmm. And but personally, I don't really like to take any, you know, take any real sides with it. You know, I try sure. to be on everybody's side.
Yeah.
And, you know, my family's still very involved with it, and I support that and love it. But personally, I just, you know, I'm really, you know, a wisdom and knowledge seeker, though. You mm-hmm. know, I read a lot of philosophy and things like that, and I'm always really trying to gain more wisdom. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in all religions, so I try to kind of just tap into all of them.
You know, I feel the well same. Said, yeah, I feel the exact same way yep. because there's a lot you can learn from the people you speak to, mm-hmm. and obviously no one has all the right answers. Exactly. So I think that's right. That's a really strong point. You do have, I mean, both you guys have a very positive and forward-thinking outlook on your life. So how did you kind of come to this mantra? Was it just through the experiences on the road? Or, I mean, what kind of placed itself in you that pushed you along and gave you this motor to keep going on?
You know, it's really, you know, I really believe through struggle and tribulation mm-hmm. that people will find themselves and find the truth. And, you know, we had real troubled years where we were figuring life out and we had formed some bad habits and things like that. And
yeah, but we, you know, we had friends and family to, you know, like help us through those times, and then it kind of just slowly makes you realize that, like, you know, I'm still learning, you know.
Yeah, we all have our moments, you know, yeah. where we're like, holy shit, like, yeah. fuck this. But, I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to curse on
you. You're fine.
Okay,
yeah.
sorry.
It's a podcast.
My bad.
You can fucking swear as much as you
okay.
want.
Okay, all right. Great. Fuck yeah.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just, you know, just try and stay positive. Mm-hmm. You know? But, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, we're not positive all the time. There's just a balance to life, and just as much we're positive, I'm sure we're negative yeah. just as much. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, life is going pretty good, pretty well. You're playing tonight at the House of Blues here in Chicago. So
yep.
What does it feel like walking out on that stage and knowing that everyone is there to see you and you've worked this hard and people singing along to your songs? I mean, what's that fill you with at the end of the day?
I still get butterflies every time I walk out on the stage.
Really? Still yeah. to this day, huh?
Yeah, still to this day.
I don't really get butterflies anymore, but I always leave the stage. Hayden probably sees this, but I always leave the stage very, like, full of life mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. very full of energy. And I'm, you know, because sometimes I have my moments where I'm just very chill and just don't want anybody to talk to me. But usually right after I get off stage, I'm just like, wow, yeah. You know, I'm mm-hmm. just like, I'm just full of life. You know, I feel like people just give us life or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it's true.
Give us
yeah.
energy. Or
you
something
feed off like the energy
true.
Of the crowd. Like
I think
exactly.
so.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Exactly. Subtly, you know, like. But it's, I personally love that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, I don't know, like maybe it has something to do with like a lot of our songs are really bright and, you know, mm-hmm. uplifting. So I don't know if that like helps too with like the vibe of the crowd feeling that, you know, mm-hmm. and then everybody just kind of gets lifted together or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it feels good.
Yeah, because we're always trying to figure out our set list to make it like uplifting mm-hmm. and
just like
stuff.
Feel good and have like a message where people want to like think about stuff, you know, or.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, a big part of this has always been about the message, you mm-hmm. know, and it's kind of dorky to say, but it's like, but I think there's something beautiful about that, and I wish more artists would do that, is have some kind of message, whether it's peace or love or even, you know, saying fuck the government or something like mm-hmm. that, and there's still a little bit of that, but mm-hmm. I think that, I think that more people should, you know, have something to say.
So what is the message of Never Shout Never?
Well, I think it's always changing, mm-hmm. and it's always evolving, and you know, but early on it started out, it's just, you know, I've always, funny you ask, I've always lived by the, not always, but since I was about 18, I've lived by the Taoist philosophy, mm-hmm. which is an ancient Chinese philosophy about dating back about 1500 years BC. And what turned me on to it was my grandfather was a Tai Chi instructor and a Taoist master. And whenever he passed away, whenever I was 18, I didn't really know much about it until he passed away. And my aunt gave me a book called The Tao of Pu, which is an introduction into Taoism, and then led me on to the Tao Te Ching. And I actually have it tattooed on my top knuckles. It's Wei Wu Wei, and that means doing, not doing. And that's pretty much the basis of the whole philosophy, is letting life unfold, not getting in the way of it, and pretty much tapping into the universal flow, ebb and flow of things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, a lot of our music has actually been influenced by that. And if you do get into the philosophy, you'll actually hear it, especially like in our songs like On the Bright Side or that one specifically. I mean, it's really about just finding the center. And going with the center.
Yeah, I can appreciate that a lot.
Absolutely.
Have you guys ever read the book The Secret?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that such a positive book? And I mean, it gets knocked on because it was on Oprah's best-selling list, but it's still
well, yeah, I don't,
solid
I don't know about
book.
Oprah, man. She kind of scares me. You look into her eyes, man, you can see like Chicago's a devil or something. Yeah. I don't know.
She knows into all of our souls. It's scary. So, you know, you mentioned the fact that you're building up these great set lists and everything. What's the climax of the show? What songs really do a lot of people connect to when they're watching Never Shout Never? Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been playing this song, California.
Yeah.
It's a real good crowd sing-along song where you, like, split the crowd right down the middle and have one side do one la-la part and the other side do the other one. Mm-hmm. That one's always fun.
Yeah.
And then
trying to get them involved with the set. You know?
Sure.
Like, yeah.
And actually, you know, I've actually noticed, like, our new song, like, our new single, Red Balloon, is actually going over really well. Mm-hmm. People are feeling it and digging it. I've actually seen a lot of Red Balloon tattoos on this tour.
Cool.
People coming out, they got like the lyrics or they got like a little red balloon or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. We haven't really had that kind of reaction to a song. So I think it has to do with like the message, you know, and that's another song that kind of has that Taoist approach to life is, you know, seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, we just spoke to Dan Adriano from Alkaline Trio.
Nice.
And I made sure to ask him. I see Alkaline Trio tattoos wherever I go. I mean, it's a big part, especially here in Chicago.
Does Taylor have one?
I think so.
Or Scott does. Yeah, one of our techs. Yeah.
No way. Yep. See? Yeah. It's like this great connection that all those our fans have. What has been the crazy experience with a Never Show Never tattoo?
Oh, well, man.
You know, we got a... A couple, but
yeah, we have a really good friend of ours. He's a dad. One of his daughter was a fan, and he became a fan, and he's gotten I don't know how many.
Yeah, tattoos. He's gotten quite a few Never Shot tattoos.
Yeah,
he's got a few of the same ones as me. Like, yeah, and I've actually seen a couple people that kind of like have sort of done the same tattoos as me. Mm-hmm. And
is that how do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
You
is
know,
that like
I mean, if it makes them happy, cool, you know. I just would never ask anyone to do that.
Right.
You know, like...
Be there with the pen.
Yeah.
We're getting this right now.
I would just, like, much rather, like, you know... I mean, but people should do what they want. You know?
And
I think it's cool. You know, I'm like... I root them on because I think it's awesome. But I would never be like... Hey, you guys should get the same tattoos as me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hayden, is your face on anybody's body?
I hope so. That would be amazing.
That would be cool. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the new album and everything. So first of all, I gotta know, when did Never Show Never get into electronic music and EDM? I know you have a little bit of background with it because you did some side projects with it.
Yeah.
But what was that inclination that you had to push this on the album?
Well, you know, it actually started. Quite a few years ago, we got into it. We kind of got into the rave scene for a while.
It was probably like 2011.
Me and Hayden, we actually got together like a posse of us and some guys, and we drove out to California and rented like a beach house, and then we just raved for like
a month straight.
Yeah, and we just like
that's so cool.
Did not sleep and just danced and smiled and laughed and sweat
yeah
and chattered our teeth. And
it's great.
And yeah, and that's kind of where it all started, and that's whenever I wanted to start making electronic music. Mm-hmm. And this record, you know, well, actually, we incorporated it a lot into our record Time Travel, which was kind of our sort of psychedelic attempt. And ever since then, we kind of actually took the reins back and went a little more classic for the next couple releases. But then, mm-hmm. yeah, we just decided we'd try to make something contemporary and, you know, try to keep up with the times a little bit.
Yeah, you know, those kids always changing with their music and such.
No, I can't keep up.
You guys are you guys playing Boom at the show?
Ooh. We're not playing Boom tonight. We've done an acoustic a few times, but
oh, cool.
It's yeah. a really hard song to play live.
It is, yeah. So. It's got a crazy synth line and yeah. stuff. We tried playing it. We were actually gonna play it whenever we went down to Mexico or
we tried it in Australia. Or
we were gonna try it. Yeah, and it scared me actually. When we were playing it, I wanted to rip my hair out. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was like,
it's like we can't do this.
I was like, this is horrible. I don't know why, but it sounds so bad, and I've never had that experience. But if we get it just right, I think we might have to change it up a bit or something, yeah. or do it a little different live. But
yeah, we can do it if we try.
That's actually I'm pushing right now for that to be our second single off this record, which is really we want to get like a new mix of it, like a little radio mix of it, and then. But I want that song to be the second single because it's so fucking goofy.
It's so goofy.
It's so awesome. It's just like fun and silly and good for remixes too. We've had a couple people remix it and it sounds cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing that you got, you know, side projects. You got, I think I read a side label you got going on. What else is coming up? What's going on with you guys? What's next for you?
Well, we're actually, we've been in the studio for our next record. Before this all started, we'd probably been in there for like 2 or 3 weeks total.
Yep.
We got about, you know, 4 or 5 songs done right now. Not done, but, you know, in
getting
the works.
There. We've been working on like a conceptual kind of psychedelic record, and it tells like this whole story, and we actually have an animator from the UK that's going to be doing like a whole animated movie that coincides with the story and with everything.
Wow, that's
so we're
cool.
going to be like releasing sort of like a double disc sort of thing with one is the album and one is the movie. And we're looking to get that out by summertime, but we've already started on it.
Can I ask, when you're doing a concept album, what comes like first? Is it the concept in your head, or are you writing lyrics and you realize it's got like a storyline about it, or is the music kind of part of it? I mean, how does that fall apart, you know?
Well, after we made Black Cat, I was like, you know, it's just so pop and kind of, you know, a lot of people wouldn't call it safe, but I think it's a safe kind of a record. And I felt like I wanted to make something that was just totally obscure and something that screwed it all up. And I was living out in L.A. for quite some time, and I started getting some inspiration from a couple people I was hanging out with, some girls that I was having some late nights with, and I started getting inspired by their lives, you know, and so I started writing about these people, and then it kind of morphed into this one character and pretty much tells a story. It's like a magical mystery kind of ride where this person's born into L.A. They're born into a plastic madness. They want to escape it, so they take a road trip, and they just start driving, and then it kind of tells all these stories, these different characters they meet along the way. And then eventually they pick up a hitchhiker along the way, and that hitchhiker ends up being their love interest in the movie. And then they fall in love and end up in this... small town in Arizona called Sedona, which is supposedly like one of the spiritual centers of the world is their claim to fame. It has all these energy vortexes and things. And
you've been?
I've actually been, yeah. This super spiritual kind of girl, really into that stuff. she took me out there.
Did you feel it out there?
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think I smoked enough weed to feel it, but,
sure.
but it was definitely, you know, there was definitely something nice about it, and there's a great vegan restaurant, so I had amazing banana bread and all these amazing scrumptious goodies. So.
I love banana bread, man.
Yeah. I do, too. Oh,
that's the ultimate comfort food right
there.
It's
so good. Can't with butter wrong. On it.
Oh, man.
You gotta have the butter, man.
No, whole nother
and
level.
Me crazy, but like a little bit of cinnamon sugar on it.
Oh, jeez.
That's like, dude. You're crazy,
it's
man.
It's fucked up,
man. Well, you know, talking about just crazy journeys, especially a spiritual moment. I have seen you guys before. I saw you last year at South by Southwest.
Oh, cool. Oh.
And when you guys were playing...
At the comedy show?
At the comedy show.
Oh, no.
I saw you guys at the comedy show.
That's right. I thought that was... long gone.
Yeah,
that was ancient history.
Yeah. Oh, and it was actually a pretty cool experience. Like for one, they played a comedy show with Hannibal Buress, Eric Andre, Brooks Wheelan, mm-hmm. and there was somebody else, and they were the house band for this comedy show.
That's a what's the dynamic there? Is that like tough? I mean, how do you?
It was, we had a good time.
It was cool. New.
It looked like you guys were having a pretty good time during that.
Yeah, we just winged it. You know, we didn't have any ideas going into it.
We just kind of went for it. Like, we set up, and we're just like, all right, we're just going to, you know, like, what key do we play in? D? All right.
Yeah, so,
nice.
So they'd like, you know, we'd play in between the songs. They get done their set, and then we'd kind of play in between the different acts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they would just, you know, they'd say their last joke, and then I'd yell out and be like, KMC, Walt!
So it was just kind of instrumental little bits between. Yeah. That's awesome. It sounds like a lot.
And then we played like at the beginning, and we just kind of ad-libbed some songs, had the guys start jamming, and then I started doing some like weird, like I think I did a Doors cover, but
yeah.
It was with a totally obscure like funk beat going on with a totally different key than the actual song. Mm. And I think the kazoo might have been involved.
The kazoo was definitely involved. Yeah. It was totally involved. You played some of the old classics in different keys and everything. Mm-hmm. It was a really cool experience. And because I went to the show and I'm like, holy shit, is that Never Shout Never? It's like the house band? It was the weirdest experience. And Chris is with like these. Do you still wear those glasses that you had?
I lost those glasses.
Oh, no.
Lost along the way.
They were like pseudo John Lennon.
Nice. Like bright red.
Yeah.
Sort of guys.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Wearing a giant flannel coat. Anybody puts that on, they instantly look like a homeless person. Seriously, it's wild.
Yeah, that was a really good time. Are you guys planning on doing anything upcoming at South by Southwest? Because that's next month.
We wanted to, but we haven't really booked anything. I might just go down there and have some fun.
Yeah.
You know, just drink a lot of beer and
walk
make
around.
Bad decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the place to do it. Were you guys even playing shows, or did you guys just come about that comedy show?
Yeah, we were. Like,
we came down for that, and
okay.
And that was actually that half of that showcase was actually, that was the year before that. But we did a showcase that was like a Loveway thing, which is my little imprint.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we went down there for that, and. Just had some fun, you know. Yeah. It was fun. I was hanging out with a lot of the comedy guys too.
Yeah,
and that was crazy people.
They're a trip. they're great people. Mm-hmm. They're
fun to be around and fun to drink with. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you guys pick up any of the free prizes they were giving away at the end?
Yes, actually, we got a couple.
Yeah. Oh, they were. Yeah.
Fleshlights.
Fleshlights.
The whole thing was sponsored by Fleshlight, and it's real messed up. But I got one, and I'm not gonna lie, I tried it out. But about I think my second or third time using it, I got so disgusted with myself and so horrified that I just fucking threw it away.
Yeah, it's best to just toss that in the trash. I was thinking about it, but could you imagine getting stopped at like the airport security with that thing in your bag?
I'm
how do you explain it? I swear it's not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think like you wash like can you wash? I don't even.
In the dishwasher?
Yeah, it's like dishwasher safe or something.
Dishwasher
weird.
Safe.
Well, we're talking to Never Shout Never. They're playing tonight at the House of Blues. This is going to be an excellent, excellent show, guys. So, what do you do when you're here in Chicago for fun? Like, you guys been here a few times. What do you do to break away from the show circuit and to have some fun here in the city?
Well, I tell you what, I really dig the downtown area around here. So usually I'll just go walk around and eat at a cool restaurant, drink some beers, and
well, I have the perfect beer for you guys. It's Old Style.
You got it right there.
Chicago's own.
How about you, Chris? What do you do?
You know, my sister actually lives out here, and she's going to Second City.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
oh,
she's,
cool.
She's killing it over there. So I always love seeing her, and she's a real cool chick. So, you know, go out with her, go get some deep dish pizza or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... break my veganism every once in a while. I mean, I really, you know, a lot of people are so extreme about it and so insane about it, you know, but I think, you know, eating a cheese pizza every once in a while, like, ain't the end of the world, you know? Like, people are so extreme about it, and I think that everyone should lighten up, you know, and I think that it would do the world more good if people weren't such assholes about the diet and more just like supportive and loving and understanding of people. Yeah. You know,
sure,
that's a good point. You know, before we by the way, thank you guys for your time.
Yeah, appreciate it.
When we were looking for gifts to give you, I wanted to get you something really specific, but I couldn't find what your favorite foods are. So what are your favorite foods?
Man, I
I like a good steak, actually. Nice Casey strip. Always.
You can't go wrong. Yeah. Pulp Fiction style.
Some taters. Just
always get that steak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like all sorts of stuff, and I'm trying to really think what gets me going. You know, it's kind of lame, but I really love, like, organic juices. It sounds crazy, but I... Man, if you drink a couple of those a day, it changes your world. You feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it comes to greedy food, I really love baked goods. I'm a big fan of baked goods like cookies and brownies and...
Oh, banana bread.
Banana bread with cinnamon sugar and butter, like the whole thing.
I love that. Kevin, how about you?
Oh, man. Tacos or pizza for sure.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Or,
yeah. Nice.
The choice. Classics. What about you, Michael?
Mine is definitely a juicy hamburger. I can never go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Bean burger, turkey burger, anything with two pieces of bread between it, yeah.
You know, I love veggie burgers, too.
Yeah, aren't they
delicious.
So good?
Delicious, yeah.
Have you ever had an elk burger?
An elk burger?
I've had bison. I don't think I've had elk.
We have this place in Joplin. It's a local place called Eagle Drive-In. They do elk burgers and stuff like that. It's pretty
crazy.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Shout out to Eagle Drive-In.
Yeah.
Elk
yeah.
burger.
If you're in Joplin, go check out Eagle Drive-In. They got great elk burgers.
Well, that is awesome. Thanks again for joining us today. You can see them tonight at the House of Blues. They also released their latest album, Black Cat. And guys, it was a pleasure. We'd love for you to take us out with another song, if that'd be cool.
We could do that.
What do you think?
I don't know. Probably be something good like off Black Cat.
On the
bright
side.
Maybe Black Cat.
Okay.
The Black Cat, firecracker, snapback, baseball cap and Coca-Cola, sipping on the sud, wearing penny loafers. His Sunday best ain't good enough for the rest of the world. Yet he stands in line and waits on his turn. The complex, disconfigured man, unassociated, agitated with the careful investigator taking notes. He slowly tiptoes towards the door. Watercolored sunset, painted before his eyes. The gateway has been opened to the wonders of his mind. He was an unbeliever, now without a doubt, he looks up at the clouds. Chemical swirls fading in and out. The peacekeeper drafted into war with a loaded rifle, unaware of consequences, correlating with his vision, has gone to shit cause he has been programmed to believe a lie. Yeah, he stands there with his gun on the front line. Blood red colored sunset, painted before his eyes. The veil has been lifted as he watches his friends drop like flies. He was an unbeliever, now without a doubt, he looks down at his paws, the guts he had smothered on the ground. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Family got the letter. It read a message clear and true. Their hero, he's fallen for the red, white, and blue. He
He was an unbeliever. Now without a doubt, his body lay 6 feet underground. The black cat's 9 lives, they ran out.
That was excellent, man. Again.
Very, very nice. Guys, we can't thank you enough. Have an amazing show tonight and safe travels on the rest of the tour. You can catch them all through February.
Thank you very much.
This is Sound Sessions, your voice for Chicago music.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.